This episode of Good Game, Great Game brought to you by sodium chloride, because there's going to be plenty of salt on the table when we discuss Byleth being added to the Smash roster. We're also going to go through our Challenger Pack 2 dream lineups, and then we're going to hit up Tokyo Mirage Sessions hashtag FE Encore. Let's revisit this gem from the Wii U days right now. You think you're crazy.
Ready for the episode?
Are you getting sleepy podcast
right before we start?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You're such an embarrassment to man and God alike.
I already knew that.
You can be a good Smash character. Pac-Man.
John.
Mario would be great in Pac-Man.
Mario. Yeah.
Mario would be great in Pac-Man.
In Pac-Man.
Oh, he would just jump over the walls.
Yeah.
He'd have such an easy time.
He'd have a very easy time.
He would. Does he just turn into giant Mario? Does he still chomp?
No. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Mario walks around as Mario? Not yeah. once. I've never seen him eat a thing.
He eats pizza in Mario Party 2. There it is.
Told you.
Step we're, aside, everybody.
We are in a place.
Big burp. It's probably because we've all been drinking.
I only had one. I'm great.
We've had three.
There's that heat kicking in.
It's Good Game, Great Game. The Video Game Book Club podcast for people that hate paper cuts but love button mashing. Episode 66, I am the sensitive adult Zach Rich. With me, Riku is his waifu. It's Andrew Orsi.
I feel like this is becoming whose line is it anyway?
It is, really is. There is a shade of that. There is a shade.
This is exactly what I did in my show when I introduced the people because mine was based on whose line is it anyway. It's very much the same sort of thing.
Well, I'm glad that I can copy that energy for you.
Wow. Which Riku are we talking about?
We're talking Final Fantasy Riku because that's the one you like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would also have taken
Kingdom honestly, Hearts yeah, open. Both Rikus, both sides of Riku are open to you. The Riku, as long as they're named Riku, Andrew Orsi is about it.
Hell yeah.
Let's get a
Except
Mario character
named Riku. Probably
I shouldn't
just say that large. Like, there's a Riku
nope,
out
that's,
there.
That's on the internet forever, baby.
Oh, boy.
The Cuddly Gamer, Kevin Ryder, you're here too.
Hi.
How you doing, boys?
Good.
It's a good episode, huh?
Yeah.
Divisible sure. by 11? Everyone knows those are the best episodes. Every 11th episode, a good game, great game, an angel gets their wings.
Let me look them up.
Well, dang.
Let me see which ones we got. Let's see how fast I can pull this up on my phone.
We're starting to go crossover crazy this week because our game that we'll be discussing for the next couple weeks, it's going to be Tokyo Mirage Sessions. Oh, no.
Sessions.
I want to counter.
There's no H in the first sound of
it's
Sessions.
Just, it's a hard name to say. You say it.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
See? You had sessions. A hard time saying Sessions.
You're right. But I got it on the second S's of Sessions.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
There you go.
I got it. Yeah. Hashtag FE Encore is the rest of the title. That's not as hard to say. That's the game we're going to be talking about. We're also going to be talking about a wee bit of news that popped over a game we like discussing here at the Good Great Table.
I just want to pop in to say what our 11th every 11 episodes
what's
games
every 11th episode?
We got Marvel's Spider-Man.
Okay.
We got BioShock.
Great.
We got Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
And we got Untitled Goose Game.
See,
that's
those are
good.
All good
You're
episodes.
Not wrong.
That's
yeah.
That's some heat there on those
that's,
11.
That's some heat on the 11.
There was also a good bag, but that's neither here nor there.
Good bags are fun episodes.
Are they?
I enjoy them.
Okay.
Heat and good bags.
Do you
I'm
not
kidding.
Like good
bags?
Do you
like
not
good
like hearing from our beloved fans?
No, I'm just starting my trolling early.
Oh. That's not... You're not. You're
that's
not.
My, that's
you're
my...
You're nothing to me.
Wow. My radio news pairing. Heat and good bags on the 11s.
your news channel one, if it were.
Uh-huh.
There was some Smash news last week.
What was it, Zach?
It was heavily divided. So, Challenger Pack 5 was announced in a nice little 45-minute briefing from our good friend Masahiro Sakurai. Everyone was like, is it going to be Dante? Is it going to be Sora? I'm feeling that Devil May Cry action. Like, if it's a sword wielder, that's okay, as long as it's somebody cool. The person's Byleth. Zach Rich's Game of the Year 2019.
That's right.
Not what year it just was. Fire Emblem Three Houses is coming to Super Smash Brothers in the form of Byleth. Fellas, what's your immediate reaction? What's the gut punch here? We cool? We nasty? We disappointed? We feeling antsy? Do we want some blood? Do we want some sperm? What's happening?
I feel good. I'm glad that they have the other hero's relics to make it not just another sword wielder.
Yeah, so Kevin just watched the trailer right before we started recording. Andrew, you had some choice words.
Well, I do want some...
Please move past...
I do want some sperm.
Please move past that.
I'm meh is my primary reaction.
Sure.
With a mild disappointment.
Define your meh-ness.
I understand the want for a Fire Emblem Three Houses representative. I think Byleth is at core a sword wielder, and at best the relics turn him into more of a Link with a bow to the side.
Yeah,
that's sort of thing. And I don't find Byleth interesting. The more I go into games with faceless protagonists, I mean, obviously not faceless, but you know what I mean. The ones where it's like, they don't really speak.
The silent protagonists.
Silent protagonists. That's the one word that I was missing. I don't like those. They're not interesting characters to me. So rather than have a representative of a game, I would like a character from said game that is interesting. Yeah. And I also think including any of Dimitri, Claude, or Edelgard could have been much more interesting.
I think Dimitri would have been really interesting, having a spear user, which you don't have a lot of, and there's a lot that you could play with in terms of his moveset, I think.
Yeah. So by that logic, like, fuck all these Links, right?
Get
these Link characters out of here.
I don't need three of them.
I want to play with that space a little bit. What if there was a Chrono Trigger character and it was Chrono?
That's probably more fine, because it's an interesting character to me.
And Byleth is not?
I don't care about Byleth. I actually would have been fine doing without Byleth in Three Houses, because frankly, besides the characters telling you that you're consequential to the story and it being you, Byleth is inconsequential to me in terms of what I take away from Three Houses. Who am I going to call my favorite character? It's never going to be Byleth.
I agree with you on that front. Here's why I think Byleth is a smart Smash choice. I understand your logic that compared to the other two Fire Emblem, like, avatar characters that we have, Crom and Robin are both characters with wants, desires.
Crom's not an avatar character.
Not Crom. Robin.
And Corrin.
And Cor. What did I say?
You said Crom.
Crom.
Did I say Crom twice?
You said Crom and Robin.
Crom and Robin. As opposed to Corrin and Robin.
Corrin and Robin. They have lines, they have dialogue, they have wants and needs and desires. I get from your viewpoint, Andrew, that Byleth is a less interesting character, and I agree with you on that front. If it were up to me, I'd be wanting maybe even more of like a Pokemon trainer kind of thing, where we've got movesets for Edelgard, Dimitri and Claude.
Yeah. Even if it was Byleth's all three of them as Echo Fighters or some weird thing like that. I don't know how that exactly would play out, but you know what I mean?
We have something close to that, because, and you don't know this, Kevin, but four of the alternate costumes are Dimitri, Sothis, Edelgard, and Claude colors. Right down to, like, everything about them is right down to the color palettes. It kind of almost looks like them.
Yeah.
In a sense. I think that using Byleth is a better idea. One, because it's a male and female character. One of my biggest problems with, like, Challenger Pass 1 is that it was male characters across, like, Kazooie's here. But, you know, most of us just saw it Banjo. Kazooie's a girl, if you didn't know.
It's a girl bird.
Love my girl birds. Hashtag girl bird. Lady Bird Kazooie. Wow.
It's the word.
They made a movie about Kazooie with Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan.
Wow, you really gave that name a stab, though. I'm proud.
Tried my hardest. By the way, we've been drinking. We went out as friends for, like, the first time in, I don't know, 12 years?
About 12 years.
And Kevin and I are a little tipsy. Andrew is...
I'm fine.
More refined than the two of us are. So apologies if this is an extra off-the-rails episode. I think Byleth is just a better representative, Smash-wise, because I kind of... You know, one, they're the only one that wields the Sword of the Creator. Nobody else can use that weapon. And... yes, having the other heroes relics there. So the way this character plays, all of their...
The main three heroes relics come into play.
The main three heroes relics come into play. All of the neutral moves use the bow. All of the up moves use the Sword of the Creator. And all the side moves use the lance. And all of the down moves use the axe. Which is really cool in practice. So Sakurai did this entire... First off, so this was a 45-minute video conference, and everyone's already salty at this point. Like, I looked on... First off, okay, So it opens with Sakurai, and he's like, hello, is Masahiro Sakurai here? I'm going to be showing off the newest character today. Not many people at Nintendo know who this character is. We've had to do this in secrecy. But once the trailer starts, you'll immediately know who it is. And literally, like, I'm just looking real time on Twitter, and everyone's like, Dante! Dante! It's Dante! It's going to be somebody wild. Nobody at Nintendo knows who it is. And the second the trailer starts and you just see the darkness creeping in by the show up, you're just like, wait a minute, it's Fire Emblem? Hold up. So everyone was already off base at that point. And then after that, Sakurai launches into an explanation, the same way he did with Terry and Fatal Fury, launches into an explanation about what the Fire Emblem series is, which, like, any Smash fan knows what Fire Emblem is.
At this point,
It's very, very funny. The thing I think most people have forgotten is that Masahiro Sakurai is a huge Fire Emblem fan. He cites Genealogy of the Holy War is one of his favorite entries in the series. He's played every single one of them the second it comes out. Even if he doesn't beat it to fruition, he said in interviews that, like, he will take time out of his work day in order to play through Fire Emblem games because he loves the series that much. So for having that reflected in Smash Bros, like, that makes sense. He's the one that picked these characters ahead of time. It only makes sense that he wants to see one, like, the latest entry in this beloved franchise. We have to remember, like, just like Dragon Quest, Fire Emblem is huge in Japan. Huge. It's gotten much bigger in North America, but sure. Fire Emblem was, like, a marquee franchise for Nintendo in Japan. And people were comparing this to the reveal that Corrin was being added to the roster in the last game. The big difference there being, like, Fates hadn't even come out in North America yet when Corrin was added to the Smash Wii U roster.
Sure.
Whereas we've had half a year with Three Houses. It's a hugely successful game. People adore the game. So it's not surprising that it's there. I'm so off base talking about why Byleth was what I think is an okay choice. I just think when you're picking a representative from that game, considering you could play through Three Houses, you know, up to three times and never spend any time with Claude, I think that Byleth is a much better option, considering they're a representative of what the entirety of Three Houses is.
I get that. I don't disagree with that. I don't think I needed a Three Houses representative, frankly.
I did, because I love that game. Like I said at our year-end
episode, I love a lot of games that don't have representatives in Smash, though. And I sure live through it.
Yeah.
It felt like the inevitable choice, but I don't know how much I wanted it.
Yeah, and I also think a part of this, it's a very anticlimactic finish to this challenger pack where everyone was like, whoa, here's a crossover, here's a, like, finding a, like, non-Nintendo characters that we're pulling in, and then here's Byleth.
Sure.
So maybe as the fourth character, I would have been less like, whoop.
If this was the last DLC end of sentence, I would be more disappointed. But knowing, and we're going to talk about this in a second, knowing that there's six more characters on the way, I'm less unenthused by this. Sure. And I also just think, based on the gameplay we've seen, I like the character a lot. I like the location that we're getting. We're getting a level based on Garrick Mach Monastery. And also, you know, we're getting Three Houses music in Smash. And that always excites me. I love getting the new tracks. It's disappointing. So there's 11 tracks from Three Houses being added in. Unfortunately, the only new remix is one of the main theme. Everything else is music taken directly from the game. No, just the main theme.
Did they add God Shattering Star? That song gets stuck in my head.
No, I don't think that made the list.
It's so good.
It is so good.
It's very, very
also,
good.
Why would they not? Funeral Full Flowers is so good, and you still haven't listened to it, even though I sent it to you weeks ago, boy.
I'm sorry.
Friendship is done. Bad.
Yeah, but that's Byleth. I'm excited about it. I think it's a cool addition. I get why people are salty, because I do think that it is, compared to the four we've had before where they're just like left field additions, this is very much like a, we could have seen this coming a mile away addition, but at the same time, like, I think it's going to be a fun character to play as. There's really cool, one of the things Sakurai was mentioned, so the down B, instead of a counter like most Fire Emblem characters, it's a very heavy axe swing that has what's the word? Super armor. Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, right.
Where Sakurai did this example where the move starts at the same time as a Falcon Punch, and even though Falcon Punch is faster, Byleth can take a Falcon Punch and then hit back. So that's gonna be interesting. Another move that I thought was really cool, their B neutral is a bow attack, like any of the Links. But the way this one works is there's two levels of charge to it. You can't shoot it off before level of charge. And before you reach the top of the first charge, you can, like, roll or cancel out of the attack. But once you hit that first charge, it's, like, a good bow attack. And then it gets up to a second charge, and it's a very powerful attack. But once you're charging up the second half, you can't roll out of the way. You're committed to the attack. That's a very cool risk-reward system for the character.
Yeah.
I think the best thing to come out of the five fighters in the challenge pack so far is that they offer unique mechanics that you don't see anywhere else. You know, Joker can... He has a revenge meter. He gets stronger if you punish him a little bit more, and he has a move specifically tailored to that. Hero has RNG mechanics. Banjo has a finite use of an invincibility move, and Terry is a fighting game character with, like, several mechanics that you don't see anywhere else. I think Violet adds on to that idea, and that's why we're moving on to our next topic, which is our Dream Fighter Pack 2 roster. All three of us compared and contrasted lists of what characters we want to see moving forward. None of us had...
Yeah, we didn't have one that was all three of us.
We didn't have one that was all three of us. I was amazed. But a couple of that we had...
And we didn't have one that was all three because I've given up on having Waluigi.
And that was where I was really going to start. Andrew and I both had Waluigi on our lists.
Just because he deserves it, guys.
It's not even that he deserves it. I just want to see... What I want to see is Waluigi's reveal trailer to be... Like, all of the invitations being sent to all the other DLC characters. So, like, Joker steals Waluigi's invite. And then, like, in the Hero trailer, like, Waluigi's off to the side getting beaten to death by a bunch of goons while Hero and Link do their work. And then, like, Duck Hunt Dog gets punched away and slams into Waluigi, who was about to drop down and get the surprise on DK in the game. And then Waluigi in Neo Geo graphics. And then Waluigi getting trapped in the Dark Realm, but he doesn't have soap. So if this, like, punches Waluigi in the face and steals the invite, that's the trailer I want to see. I have no idea how Waluigi would play. I don't know what specific mechanics would be introduced with a character as much of an enigma as Waluigi, but not even to play the character myself. I just want this trailer of Waluigi getting shat upon until, like, somebody takes... Like, Masahiro Sakurai himself descends from the heavens on a bed full of angel wings and hands Waluigi the last invite. That's the trailer I
want to
see.
Yeah, if there's anybody who I want to be the last DLC character, it's Waluigi.
That would be pretty great. I think that would really be
the perfect fulfillment for that meme.
Yeah.
Or it's somebody else, but Waluigi gets his ass to him anyway. That would be
the
expert
trolling.
Level trolling.
He goes down to give it to Waluigi.
Which, if anyone can pull off expert level trolling in the video game industry, Sakurai.
Sakurai's the king. Kevin, you and I had two crossover characters. We both said 2B from Nier Automata.
Which I think we've talked about 2B in Smash for a while.
I think so. And I think, you know, it would be another sword character, but I think there's enough with 2B's moveset.
Oh, there's so much enough with her. Yeah. She's a sword character, but they do give her other weapons.
Exactly.
Well.
Like the pods. Can be her neutral B, and that could probably be, like, a non-flinching damage move. Soul Calibur already kind of lays down the
just
blueprint.
Just what we need, another Fox Blaster spammer.
I mean, I can't think of another move that works like Fox's Blaster.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't need more of it.
I get that. I understand you. We both also had, this one was a little more interesting, and I kind of copied this off of you because I had a hard time thinking about a sixth character and I wanted a really tanky character, but we both said Nemesis and or Mr. X.
Yeah, they could be like echoes of each other. I think they'd be a good heavy that would have some fun zombie type moves, but also could have like rocket launchers.
Oh, definitely.
Big back off smacks.
Nemesis is really fun in Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Oh, yeah.
He's
very
fun, like, tanky but quick and large character. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Smash Ultimate made heavy set characters so much fun. And the nice thing that we haven't seen in DLC yet is none of the characters have been really heavy yet.
In my brain, he would be super heavy. He would have zero, like, air dodge or, like, getting back. But he would be so hard to launch.
I can imagine him having a tether, though, if he, like, shoots out a tentacle.
Sure. Yeah. It would be a tentacle, but in terms of, like, his jump
he
would
definitely
be
can't jump. That man cannot jump.
But he would probably have to be the heaviest character.
I'd almost say, like, he has super armor and worst jump in the game.
He would be, like... You know, how in the games you can't kill these characters, so it's like the chances of launching him are not great. But if you launch him just a bit off the edge, he has that tether, but that's it. He can't
really
jump to save his life.
Yeah, and he would have a horrifying Spinal Smash.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be really cool. And then just Mr. X I'm not as familiar with Mr. X.
I'm not as familiar with Mr. X either, but I think the either could work in that same mold.
Yeah, we all had a couple of Capcom ideas in our respective lists. Andrew, you said Amaterasu.
Amaterasu? Yeah. I just think, like, Okami is like a revered game from a while back, and it would be a very interesting different character.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, Like, here's a wolf. For, I mean, first of all, you've got it's a four-legged character, like a quadruped.
Are there no four-legged characters in Smash?
There are, but I don't think they
there's
exist
like characters
that
move on all fours. Yeah, but yeah. Everyone kind of. I mean, even it's Pikachu and Pichu are bipedal.
Yeah, because I'm thinking through the Pokemon and like, yeah, Incineroar kind of if he sprints uses his hands.
Ridley
hands on 2 feet.
Not Incineroar is like.
Really?
Yeah, Incineroar's like he's got his two little kitty cat legs.
I was thinking something different. Yeah, there's not really one then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt, sure. Right, right.
That's the only one.
Very different from Duck Hunt, though.
Very different from Duck Hunt.
And it'd be a fun art style to have incorporated.
Yeah, oh, it'd be a really cool art style. There's a lot to play with the character from, like, the lore of the games and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's been a very long time since I even touched Okami, and I don't think I ever beat it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's a really, like, it's a franchise that had legs to it, and I think still has a lot of respect and fans. And we've brought a lot of other, like, old franchises out of the woodwork for it. And this could be a really interesting character with a cool moveset. So, like,
I agree completely.
That's why it's on my list. It's more for the uniqueness.
And they were also in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Mm. So there's a blueprint there. Yeah. I also had a Capcom character that's a little more niche, I think. It was also a Marvel vs. Capcom fighter. And fans of that series will recognize them probably more than, like, the original game they're from. But I had Tron Bonn on my list.
Mm-hmm. I'm really for Marvel vs. Capcom.
Are you familiar with the character at all, Andrew?
No.
So Tron is actually a Mega Man character. She's from Mega Man Legends, which are the 3D games, and she is this sky pirate with a huge crush on Mega Man, but the way she generally operates in her games is that she's in a mech. So I feel like the way she would play is kind of similar to that of Bowser Jr., where there might be, even like, I imagine the closest approximation, I guess, would be like, a diva kind character in Smash where like maybe she has a set health bar to her mech and then like when it explodes there's a period of time where it's just her outside of the mech and then she has to either like deal enough damage or raise a bar in order to get back in her mech.
Like so old school Samus, Zero Suit Samus in a way.
Kind of, yeah.
But a bigger mech.
It would be kind of like if it were Bowser Jr. If the Koopa Clown car exploded, but then, like, Bowser Jr. had to survive on his own for 5 seconds. I think that would be a very fascinating character. We don't have any, like, mech-type characters in Smash right now, and I feel like that would be a neat kind of dual character addition. And, like, you made that Samus bit, but even, like, Zero Suit Samus is survivable outside of the machine.
Yeah.
I feel like Tron outside of it would be very weak. Very easy to hit off. Like, not good recovery. Like, maybe she's a bit of an overpowered character just in terms of offense and defense, but if you get her out of the mech, game over. Like, if she takes 50% damage in the mech, you're in trouble.
Like D.Va.
Yeah. Very, very D.Va-like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an Overwatch character.
I am aware. Wow.
I didn't know. I don't know what you know.
Wow.
You weren't contributing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who else is a cool guy? Andrew, you've got a couple of interesting ideas here. You've got Doom Guy, which is a very popular choice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like, number one, an acknowledgement of Doom as the initiation of first-person shooters into the world. But I also think there's like a lot of potential for a move roster there. Like, there's 9 guns throughout the game, so you can maybe swap and bring in those guns. You can also play with the like variety of monsters in Doom and have them somehow be involved in the moveset. I see a Final Smash as, like, calling, like, the Cyber Demon or the Arachnid Mother or, like, somebody to, like, come in and do the Final Smash. So, like, I kind of want that just as a tribute to video game history sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And because I'm a Doom fan.
Absolutely.
So.
In that same vein, Kev, you've got the Master Chief.
I do. I don't think there's anyone that's, like, Master Chief quite yet in the game. Like, in that same kind of first-person shooter realm, I don't think there's a ton of representation, and there's enough with the different weapons, the different movesets, I think that you can make something pretty compelling.
Chief's a scrappler, too.
Yeah.
Like, I can see the energy sword being used in his moveset.
I wouldn't want
him
to be a super heavy sword user. Like, I wouldn't want it to be all energy sword attacks, because we have so many of those already. But he'd probably be somewhere between a sword user and, like, Snake in certain ways, I think.
I think, the closest thing we have to a gun guy is just Snake.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of Bayonetta as well.
A little bit of Bale, a little bit of Joker.
A little bit of
Joker
Lock,
has an attack that's literally called Gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's as close as it gets. You also just wrote Kingdom Hearts characters.
Yeah, so like it would be like the Dragon Quest characters where it would be Riku, Sora, Kairi, Mickey, I think. would be fun.
That would be interesting to have Mickey Mouse in Smash.
I know
that we would be able to get Mickey.
Oh, yeah. Totally not able to, but I would like to play as Mickey. Mickey sure. would be fun. And there's plenty to pull from the different spells.
I think you could probably get like Sora, Riku, Kairi, Roxas.
Sure, Axel.
Maybe Axel.
Yeah.
Even then, like, all of their play styles are so... Like, I could understand Riku, Roxas... Or, I'm sorry, not Riku. Sora, Roxas, and Xion, because they're all basically the same sure. person, in a way. I could even see, like, stance changes for them. Maybe there's, like, two Keyblades that pop up. They have techniques like Ars Technicum and Sonic Blade. Like, I see a moveset.
Well, I've seen a moveset suggested for Sora that is more based on his Kingdom Hearts 2, where, like... Similarly to Shulk's Monado arts, he can take Wisdom Form, Valor Form, like those kind of things.
I can see that.
I'm sort of here for that.
Yeah. That would make me explode. Yeah. But I feel like Sora and Riku fight so differently, I can't see them as echoes of each other.
I can. I hear what you're saying, but I think that they could do it for Smash.
I'm sorry. Are you saying, the Kingdom Hearts stan has logged on. Absolutely.
As echoes?
Yeah, they would not work as echoes.
Their combat styles are very different, Riku's, but in a simplified manner.
You think Riku and Sora wouldn't work in a similar way to, like, Ken and Ryu?
No, not at all. No? Not a bit. Riku's stance is like the sword over his head.
I don't give a shit about his stance,
Zachary.
Are
you joking with me right now?
No.
They don't have the same moves. Riku calls on the power of darkness for half of his attacks. He's got dark
aura. So it's a Samus Dark Samus.
Those are two different...
He's got a point,
no!
though.
No. They have the same moves, though.
Relatively so.
Riku and Sora are
Riku
way
and Sora
too
have
different.
Relatively the same moves. They hit people with this wacky stick, or they use magic. One could be good magic, and one can be darkness.
I'm so upset at your banal underrepresentation of how magic
I'm
in the
upset
Kingdom Hearts
at your elitist view of Kingdom Hearts characters.
Kingdom Hearts characters.
And how much you patronize me by suggesting I don't know Overwatch, which is a battle royale.
No!
For those that are just tuning in, that's a callback to a previous episode.
Yeah, whatever, asshat. All of your choices are... Okay, so you
have... Wow, do not.
I didn't finish that sentence because it would be too mean. You have Isaac on here. You've spoken at length about your love for Golden Sun.
I know, and I know it's not going to happen because he's an assist trophy. And so I also Luigi. Know that it like falls into like another sword character. I would want an Isaac that has a moveset heavily based around Synergy and also maybe Ginny.
Yeah, Ginny.
I mean, that would be fun and unique.
I mean, a lot of Isaac, I feel like, would be grab, push, like a lot of zone control.
I think it could
be
almost hero-esque.
Yeah, I think he'd be weak, but he's got great edge guarding abilities.
Yes.
Yeah. He can KO at low percentages just because of how good he is at preventing people
And his
from
final
getting back
smash is probably like a summon of judgment, the like earth gym.
Definitely.
Summon. You know what I mean? Like, I can see the moveset for him so clearly.
Yeah.
And people have been calling. It's funny too, because like, I just don't think I had ever thought about my desired Smash roster, and it wasn't until like this series of Smash when there were so many DLC characters, and that's become more of a thing since Smash 4. Like, you know what I
mean?
Because
of the first
that
pack,
I started to think about it.
The first pack let us dream outside of what we would think were the normal confounds of
right.
Smash characters.
And when they were revealing the initial roster for this game of new characters, there was a lot of people proposing Isaac, and so in that moment, I started to think about it, and I was like, fuck, man, I love Golden Sun. I want this character, like, please.
Yeah. I mean, we fell for that Gosh Dang leak. We talked about it on the show. What
Grinch.
Was it, the Grinch leak?
The
oh,
Grinch.
My God. Man, we were so young then.
What a mean one.
What? Speaking of mean, Kev, Kratos from God of War is on
your Daddy list. Daddy Kratos. You could play with any of his iterations throughout the games. There'd probably be the most recent one where you could have the axe and you could have the blades and you could have the...
What if it's Kratos Atreus as a Banjo-Kazooie Duck Hunt pair?
Yes!
Yes!
No, it's a skin for Banjo-Kazooie.
He's an Echo Fighter for Banjo.
Echo Fighter for Banjo.
So what are the eggs that comes out of Kratos' mouth?
Arrows.
It's arrows from Atreus.
From his mouth?
Yes!
No, he's shooting it from his back.
No, he spits him out.
Yeah.
Does he have grenade arrows?
Probably.
Sure.
He's got
you guys
shot
played that
arrows.
Game. I didn't.
He's got shock arrows.
Okay.
Could be a thing. And then the rush forward can be the axe, and he can throw that. Like there's the other.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's lots of things.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, he wouldn't be a Banjo Echo. That's really funny to think of. Kratos and Atreus. As
I just
a banjo
like the idea
echo.
Of them flailing around with each other.
And the Ultimate Smash would be like a thing with Jörgenmunder with the World Snake.
Yeah.
Coming in, smashing stuff
up.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mentioned this character before. I really would love to see it, but I have Cosmos on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cosmos, one, it's a great Namco character, because that would kind of bridge the gap.
I thought you were just going to say, it's a great name.
It's a great name. Cosmos rolls off the tongue.
Great name, yeah.
It's a Namco character who's the studio that works on the series alongside Sora Limited. I feel like Cosmos is a character that would help promote the Xenoblade remaster kind of nicely,
yep.
considering she's tied to that universe. I feel like that trilogy is due for a remaster at some point. I think there's enough outcry for it at this point, just to like get those games back out there in people's hands. And I feel like, one, it's a female character. I think we should have more female-based characters in Smash. She could be heavy and light at the same time, considering she's like an ultra-fast moving android, but she hits like a truck. She could have like really cool, she like summons energy weapons just out of nowhere, so she could just like pull guns out of nowhere and shoot people. Very Green Lantern-like. Yeah, she just has a bunch of weapons that just sit around in hyperspace, and then suddenly she's got Gatling guns on her arms, and it's crazy. Yeah, I love the character, and I feel like if they want to promote the Xenoblade Chronicles remaster, if they want to bring those games back, considering Monolith Soft still sees that character as kind of the face of their company, they put out this... Sure. I can't remember if it was a Christmas card or something, but Cosmos was front and center in this piece of art that showed all the characters Monolith Soft has made over the years. So they clearly still see her as like a very important figure. And considering she shows up in any single like Namco crossover game, the Project Cross Zone game, she's even in Xenoblade Chronicles 2. She has her own side arc if you find her. I think Cosmos would be a great character to add into Smash. I can easily see them throwing together like something of a Zero Suit Samus chic like ability for her. And it's just another cool RPG that can have a mm-hmm. ton of spirits. That would be really, really fun. And I just like her. Who else do we have here? Kev, you got Hollow Knight.
Yeah, I think there's a very easy move set for Hollow Knight in mm-hmm. this game. And we talked about how much we love that game, ironically. I didn't love it quite as much as you do, but I think that he would fit into Smash super well.
And we'd get that indie so game easy. Rep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, I can see an easy moveset.
And a Hollow Knight level would be so fun.
Oh, yeah.
In, like, the tunnels, and there'd be, like, a Cornifer
somewhere.
Yep, Cornifer's exactly. hanging out.
I think there's a lot that could be done with Hollow Knight. That would be cool. You could have a alternate skin
even
as
Hornet. Even if it's a shifting stage that moves through the different locales yeah. of Hollow Knight could be
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah.
And with Silk Song on its way, like, exactly. that's very possible.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that would be great. I think that's even likely with Silk Song on its way. Like,
possibly.
I could see that one.
Yeah. yeah that's do you possible. Think it would be... Hollow Knight or what's her name?
Hornet.
Either Echoes or Costumes.
Maybe.
I think it'd be
yeah.
Hollow Knight.
Probably Hollow Knight, but it could be easily Echoes or Costumes.
Andrew, you, against all reason and logic, have another Fire Emblem character on your list, but
yeah.
you have Sorin from
yeah.
the Talus games.
It's more... So this is... It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There's no way it's going to happen. This is a thing I wanted a while back. And frankly, I almost thought Robin was going to do what I wanted Sorin to be. Which is a mage. I want a fucking mage from Fire Emblem. Mages are such a big part of Fire Emblem, but all we have are sword users. There's a variety of weapons.
Robin's a magic user?
Barely.
If we think of Smash in general, we just don't have a lot of mages, period. Like,
yeah.
Zelda's a mage, but really, there's not a ton of mages
Besides that,
in the game.
That's really it, yeah.
Ganondorf.
But he doesn't fight like a mage. Like, Zelda's moveset is very
magic
mage.
Ganon's
yeah,
moveset is magic.
Ganon uses a sword!
He uses
and
kicks and
people.
Punches.
That's not magic.
He uses with magic.
Who that's, are you?
Captain Falcon. Not... What is the Falcon Punch if not magic?
But it's not like a ranged mage moveset. Where
what is Mario's fireballs if not magic? I ask you.
Nah.
Let's talk about the
Hold
physics
on.
Of the mushroom
let's
kingdom.
Take a vote really quick. Are these mage characters? And do you think these are mage characters?
No.
Oh, wow. Zach, you're outvoted. I'm sorry, bud.
What is
Democracy
this?
Takes
And Edelgard is not best girl.
Oh!
Angry.
Fire
angry.
Throne.
Angry.
I think the idea with this, because I would also take Ranulf from the Tellius games. I want a Fire Emblem character that is not a sword user. That is strictly not a sword user. Robin still has a sword, and I don't love the execution of the magic in its entirety. Not
What's
that
your
I,
problem with Robin?
Robin's boring for me, and I just dislike Robin as a character in Smash.
So you
frankly.
Just hate all Avatar characters?
Kind of. What's... I could do without Korin.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Korin!
Oh, but you hate Fates.
But I hate Fates.
Funny how that works.
I love Korin's design. I hate Fates. It's a bad game.
Mm.
It's got good levels in one of the three games.
It has interesting characters that you didn't bother to see.
I just still want Dimitri now after talking about it.
I know.
A spear user would be great.
I would also have taken, like, Ephraim from Sacred Stones. I just want a Fire Emblem character who is different from the other Fire Emblem
characters.
God,
yeah, let's bring Sacred Stones back.
Zach, that's not the fucking point. Let me talk.
The next Fire Emblem character we're going to add is all the horses. Not even anyone that's a cavalier
that's a
or a fortress knight.
I would take it.
It's just the horse. It's a horse riding the horse.
No, like,
it's just a horse.
I would legitimately, like, Sorin as a full-on mage character who cannot use weapons in that game would be an interesting different character from what we have. Ranulf, who is a Laguz and can turn into a cat, the form shift. There are things there that are mechanics. It's like, I think it's just that Fire Emblem has such massive representation in Smash comparatively to a lot of other series in the game, and I love that because I love Fire Emblem. But why is it all sword people?
Yeah, it is all sword people.
It should not be all sword
people.
Fire
Emblem
is not all sword people.
Or like a Hector.
Gorn
fire
user.
Yeah,
like just
Hector would have been a great choice. Yeah.
To be fair, Byleth fulfills the criteria of being a lance and an axe and a bow
but
user.
But she's also
now
a sword user.
Corrin fights with her dragon limbs.
And a sword.
Lucina has a mask.
And their sword.
Wow, we're really reaching for that third off.
I feel you, Andrew. They need a Fire Emblem character that's not a sword user. I get they're trying to do that with Byleth being a sword plus user, but just let's just try a non-sword user.
Yeah.
And so, like I said,
like this isn't going to happen. The Tellius games have not been... I would love a remake of the Tellius games. Nintendo. But... like, the Tellius games have not been in the public eye for long enough. Like, we're not getting new characters from them, and I acknowledge this. But, like, Sorin was someone I wanted for a long time, and, like, Ranulf would be another option. Also, then you have gay characters, because they have endings with
you would have a gay in Smash. We've got dogs. We've got girls. Let's get gays.
Let's get gays! Please!
My last character is Heihachi.
Yeah.
I struggle, because I think Tekken does deserve a character in Smash. The thing is, like...
I like the kangaroo.
Question.
Well, that was my also other thought. Like, I said Heihachi, maybe you like Kuma. Maybe
yeah,
we just
I
have,
love Kuma.
Kuma's great.
I always do that.
Put a gay in Smash, put a bear in Smash.
Or another bear in Smash.
Put two bears in Smash. You're absolutely right. I was like, there's bears. Put an anatomically correct bear in Smash.
It's an actual grizzly bear.
Yes.
Or panda.
Can we talk about this, though? Do you think Tekken needs a representative in Smash before Mortal Kombat should get one?
Yes. When I'm thinking about, like, the most iconic... Okay. So I see your point, Andrew Orsi.
Tekken's spirit feels closer to Smash than Mortal Kombat. Like,
yes.
I get what you're saying.
And, like, the Tekken team works on Smash.
Sure.
I get why
it's maybe a more realistic option and, like, makes sense as a crossover. I just also,
just
like,
seeing how, like, Street Fighter has two characters already and Fatal Fury has one already, I can't imagine. You know, when you're looking at the biggest pillars in fighting games, Tekken is right there.
Yeah, how'd you guys feel about Yoshimitsu? Let's just get another sword.
Yoshimitsu, actually, like... that would be cool because it'd be across, like, it would fulfill both Tekken and Soul Calibur.
Yeah, sure.
Considering that character crosses between both
games.
But
I like Heihachi and the fact that it's a punchy guy. I like punchy guys.
And we don't have old guys.
I like a good punchy
guy. Put an old guy in Smash.
Yeah.
Put a gay. Put an anatomically correct bear.
Put an anatomically correct old guy.
Heihachi only wears bandages around his crotch. Like,
sure does.
Dude wants to hang out in the hot springs and do his rich person thing.
We were talking a little bit briefly about
very few
keeping it,
characters make me as uncomfortable as Heihachi. Sorry. I just needed to say it.
In terms of punchy dudes, we were talking about if we were to expand this outside of video game guys, I would love to see Deku from My Hero Academia.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about
such
that.
Such a good punchy guy. And I like that Heihachi brings that.
Heihachi brings that.
Love a good punchy
guy. We got
good
punches. The last character on anyone's list. Andrew, you also had an indie rep, and it's the Goose.
It's the Goose.
It's the
Goose. Are you fucking telling me? Like, here's the thing. I have... Great. Here's my pitch. Okay.
Please. Yes.
So, one of the Goose's main moves, a honk, obviously.
Okay.
It's a very small hitbox, very similar to Jigglypuff's rest. At low damage, it just kind of annoys the person or, like, sends them flying. At over 100% damage, it's an explosion and they're immediately dead.
Okay.
If a character is holding an item, the Goose can take the item. The Goose can take the item.
Is there a move that involves ringing a bell?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
One of the moves literally just involves the Goose getting a bell and dropping it on someone's head kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, there's so many...
the final smash is pulling the tower down.
No, the final smash is rake in the lake. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You put the rake in the lake and everyone explodes.
Yeah.
It's so... I just think it's such a good character
their
for the
Their final smash
lake.
Is rake in the lake in the sense that you can... Everyone freezes. You can walk up to them and grab them and drag them to the edge
it's
of the
lake!
and just drop them off the side.
The goose's primary weapon is mental damage.
Like everyone else freezes, but and you can drag them around at free will, but you're being chased by a farmer the whole time. Once the farmer catches up to you, the final smash time is done.
It's it. That's it. I'm just saying, the sense of humor of the goose character in Smash is perfect. And what is the most set that exists.
What's the goose's level that comes with it?
It's the tiny town.
and everyone's big,
and it's the piano music just like increases whenever someone's at high damage. The piano music starts going faster.
That's great.
Like anytime somebody gets lodged,
it doesn't. There's no explosion sound. It's just da da.
You've sold me now.
Yeah. I told you this was worth it. This was my number one pick. I want the goose.
That's really freaking good.
I mostly just want to steal items out of other people's hands and run away with them.
Yeah, like Peach pulls up a turnip and Goose is like, nope,
that's my turnip.
Mine now.
And then he goes and makes a picnic on the side. If he could steal a turnip from Peach, a pill from Dr. Mario, a Maxim tomato, like he just needs to grab a few things, he gets a picnic, and then he probably gets a bonus attack when he makes the picnic.
Oh my gosh. Okay, this is good. This is very
excellent.
Good. You thought this through.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
I did work.
Speaking of doing work, let's do a little no, I guess not. Let's take a break.
That's a great idea. We're 40 minutes in.
Yeah, let's take a break, and then when we come back, we will talk through the prologue and chapter one of Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Yeah! Bye, listeners!
See you soon! Tony Hawk is trending on Twitter. Did he die? No, he hasn't died. It seems to be everyone just talking about how great his games were.
Yeah, Pro Skater.
I just really thought after the and then there was that knife pause, Zach was going to launch right in, but then we just get Tony Hawk is trending on Twitter. Have you seen all his stuff where people in public don't recognize him, but they talk
like,
to him about him?
You look like Tony Hawk, like the skater. He's like, yeah. He's like, I bet you get that a lot. He's like, yeah. It must be a terrible fate to, like, live a life where you were famous, and now you're still kind of famous, but people are like...
I'd prefer that.
Yeah.
I want to skip...
Get left alone.
And this is speaking as somebody who has, like, been in the entertainment industry and pursuing fame in some form or another, and is still maybe sort of doing that, just in a slightly different path. But, like, I want to skip the actual famous part and get to the part where only some people remember me.
You want to be an also-ran.
I would like to be allowed to be in pajamas in public if it came down to it.
Technically, everyone's allowed to be in pajamas in public.
Yeah, but if you're, like, that famous, then, like, the tabloids will make it a thing.
I've only just gotten comfortable enough to be able to go to the convenience store downstairs while still wearing my sleep pajamas. Because I know that I'm just, like, down there for 5 seconds, buying a thing of Pop-Tarts and going back upstairs.
I can't even do it in, like, sweatpants.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I need to put on, like,
on.
Jeans or
khakis.
I
used to get very anxious about it, and then there was just one day where I was like, damn it, I want to get some creamer for my coffee, but I don't want to put on pants.
What I want, creamer. What I don't want, jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeans are a hassle.
Yeah, I'm pretty cozy in jeans.
It took me long enough to get okay with just doing that in flip-flops. Which are normal shoes.
Oh my god.
That tells you how far along I am in my journey.
In college, I wore flip-flops everywhere.
I wore a lot of flip-flops in college, but I was also in Long Beach, so that
makes
sense.
I was the flip-flop king. You talking
the
flapjack king?
I had flip-flop tan lines so bad on my feet.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They were very visible on my body. I love my
your
flops.
Flip-flop tan lines, where you wore just flip-flops. You had a pair
because
of shorts
I also,
made out
like,
of flip-flops.
When I'm inside, I hate wearing socks. So everyone could tell where my flip-flop tan lines were because I generally wasn't wearing socks.
Yeah.
If I'm, like, in somebody's home and they're cool with my bad feet, they're like, hey, take your socks off. I'm like, thank you. Thank you so much for this gift. That's very kind of
you. I'd like to have my footsies out here.
I like taking off these sleeves for my feet. These feet sleeves, if they were.
Mittens would be more appropriate, I think.
I wonder who came up with the idea of socks.
Someone who was very tired of the people they knew having very stinky feet.
No, yeah. I don't think it was that. I think it was someone whose feet were fucking cold.
Yeah, you're right. It's cold feet. It's true. I'm with Andrew
because
on this one.
Because let
it's
me tell
feet.
You, I have hiked some high mountains, and when you're at the top of mountains, it's cold.
I'm training to the mountaintop!
I have, and you want wool fucking socks.
Yeah.
Three pairs on each foot in your warm, insulated hiking boots. So that's why socks were created.
We're back.
We're back. Hi.
We're back to the show.
That's all
this,
going in,
this
so we've
last
been back for a while.
I know.
It was just a mirage.
I was like, I'm not editing this stuff out. I hope we're clear on that.
Yeah, that's fine. Tokyo Mirage Sessions is the game we are talking about for now.
Yeah.
Until something better comes along, I guess.
I'm excited about it. I am really liking this game.
Way to really sell it from the start.
I have no fucking idea what's going on. I'm on my fourth beer of the night.
All these other games we're excited about are going to get delayed anyways. So.
There's been so many delays.
That's okay.
Dying Light 2 right. just got delayed.
Get it right. Don't get it now. Get it right.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
We'll keep playing Tokyo Mirage Sessions and Last of Us Part 1. We're fine.
So
don't worry about our needs, game industry. It's okay.
I'm going to start by saying, longtime fans of the show know that like I've been dying to revisit this game because I didn't finish it when it first came out on the Wii U. I'm super excited this port is now here. We played through the prologue in Chapter 1 this weekend. It came out on Friday.
I've also been dying to play this on the game front.
I'm just talking from my perspective.
Whatever. I've also wanted to play it, but I'm the one who hasn't played it yet.
Kevin's first time.
But I think I'm also the only one of the three of us that's played a Shin Megami Tensei game.
I've played a Shin Megami Tensei
game. Oh, you have? I didn't know you actually had played one.
Kind of.
Why is there something beeping outside? We're doing a podcast.
Yeah. Don't people know? No,
it's just me. I chirp my beeps like a small bird.
So this game was announced in 2013 as Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem. Then it disappeared from the public eye for like a year, and then suddenly it shows up, and it's this J-pop colorful
Tokyo
anime
Mirage Session.
Tokyo Mirage Session.
Look at the Final Fantasy 15 treatment, where it disappeared for a while and came back as a totally different thing.
Kind of, yeah. It came out on the Wii U in 2015, where it sold less than 100,000 copies and died on a platform that nobody was playing on anyway.
Yeah.
Niche game, niche platform, sent it out to die. I think, Andrew, didn't we buy our copy of that game together?
Yep.
Yeah. We both bought the special edition when the game first came out.
Yep.
I played up through, I think, maybe like halfway through, maybe like around chapter 3 or so, and then just fell off because I wasn't playing things on my Wii U anymore. I think you got a little farther than
I did. I've done like 4 playthroughs of the game and not all the way through on any of them.
Oh, okay.
Several I died around chapter 2. One I got halfway through chapter 3 and stopped, and then in my most recent one, I believe I was like 3/4 of the way through chapter 4.
Yeah. And Kev, you're experiencing this for the first time.
First time.
So yeah, back to your point. Yeah, I played Shin Megami Tensei 4 on the 3DS.
I think that's what I played as well.
I think that's the most readily available. Yeah. We were talking earlier, like, it's crazy that, you know, of the entire Shin Megami Tensei franchise, you can't play any of them on modern consoles besides Persona 5.
Yeah.
Like, even like playing this game right now on the Switch and being able to have it in handheld mode gave me shades of playing Persona 4 Golden on my Vita. And the fact that that game is not available to play on a modern console is beyond me.
That game is so good.
I have no idea what they're waiting for. Andrew, you've never played even a Persona game before.
No.
This is kind of your first flirting with the franchise.
Yeah.
Which is cool because I think, you know, we were talking earlier, like, how Shin Megami Tensei is this, how Fire Emblem is this. This is very much like a Persona Lite game. It borrows shades of it. It has kind of the idea of getting closer to your party filled with modern teenage youths. And building relationships with them in order to unlock new abilities in combat and such. Not as well developed as I think Persona is.
Not even well developed. It's not as deep of development systems. Like, the development of your personas is not quite the same as the development of your
Fire Emblem characters.
Exactly, your carnages and stuff.
Yes. Let's go around and talk about our first off, I need to ask the important question, because the game asks this second of all.
Yeah.
Glasses, on or off?
I did you choose for me, they chose off.
They chose off. Okay, chose off. You left it to the hands of fate.
I left it to the hands of fate, and that felt right to me. It's like, I don't know what implications this has. Yeah, you choose. You choose, world. You pick.
You took glasses off.
I let it choose for me, and it chose glasses on.
Boy, howdy. You guys left everything to chance.
Yeah. See,
I'm an eyewear enthusiast. I want glasses that's on what everybody. I want every. That's what it fucking says.
It is.
And this wasn't a thing that Wii U version. I literally put my controller down and had to think this over for a little while. Because I was like, Tsubasa's face is just so plain without glasses. Girl needs a.
I didn't know who Tsubasa was going to be.
Right! Yeah. It's weird because this game. Okay, so you're introduced to basically the main two. You have Itsuki, who is the player character.
Itsuki. You leave out the U in Japanese. It's a very unvoiced.
This is very hard for me because, and you have much more experience with Japanese than I do.
Yep.
This is like that rare game that doesn't have, that is like, it's not, I won't say it's mainstream. It's polished, but lacking a, this is no Record of a Ghost War. This is like a mainstream game that doesn't have an English
dub.
Oh,
sure, yeah.
Right, yeah, there's no English dub.
There's no English dub to this game, which is hard to wrap my head around because I don't often listen to things that are subtitled.
That's how I watch most of my anime.
Yeah, I watch a lot of subtitled anime if I watch.
But there are some points that don't actually have subtitles, though, in this game.
It's difficult, right.
Yeah, and a lot of the character voices in combat aren't
None of the combat things are subtitled, which is really frustrating.
It doesn't bother me necessarily, but I'm just like, I kind of do want to know what they actually are.
Because there might be plot-relevant things they're saying in those circumstances.
In a couple of the boss fights, it's possible for the most part. The few words that I'm translating are things just like, half the time it's like when it switches to somebody, they're like, everyone be careful! Or like is literally all they're saying.
Or it's right. Like, I'm going to do a follow-up attack. Yeah. I'll do a session with
most
you,
of it is very, very inconsequential.
I understand that. To me, it's just a little annoying because I'm like, I might miss something
fun. Why don't they
give
it to you? Why don't they give you that subtitle?
Right. That was the one thing I was hoping they were going to fix.
I don't know where they would put it in the battle screen without distracting. There's a lot going on the battle screen already.
It is, because like, so
this
for this
game is bright and sensory overload.
It's bright, and it's even worse in this version. So, Kevin, you don't have the context for this, but in the Wii U version, the gamepad was where, so you get a lot of text messages throughout the game for the topic system. In the Wii U version, all of that was on the gamepad.
Oh, just always up?
Yeah, which kind of, like, the game used the second screen really well for
RPG. So, like, when you need to go to the map, you just click on the map.
It was all on the gamepad.
Yeah.
That's kind of why the screen feels a little cluttered in this version, because you have that, and you have dedicated buttons for bringing up the main menu, you have a button for bringing up the fast travel system, and you have a button for bringing up your topic. Yeah. In the Wii U version, you just look down, and all of your text messages were available on a touchscreen.
I can see that being a bit more
that's
streamlined.
That's literally the only thing I miss from the Wii U version.
I can see that.
Because otherwise, I was watching, I think Game Explain put up a video, one just showcasing how the load times are. This game loads significantly faster now on Switch.
I can see that.
Things that took like 1 or 2 seconds in the Switch version took us upwards of like 10 to 13 seconds in the Wii U version. I think that's part of the reason why I bounced from the game was because loading up enemy encounters took 6 to 7 seconds at a time. This game is almost instantaneous. It almost has no need for that splash screen right before a battle because you're just in combat. Which I really, really appreciate. The nice thing is things feel a lot more streamlined in this version. Being able to turn on the quick session mode, which, you know.
Oh, you couldn't do that before?
You couldn't do that before.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It's
you had to, like, pick what the follow-ups
benefit
were going to be?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
What? The sessions?
Not picking what the follow-ups are going to be, but just, like, skipping most of the animation.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah.
It's still, the sessions, I haven't messed with it. I kind of like watching each one happen, and it's not a slow animation, it's just that they happen a lot in a battle.
Mine's automatically been quick sessions on already, so I don't know the difference.
I don't know that I've ever played without quick sessions on. Yeah. They had that option. The default version of sessions is what it had in the Wii U.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think there's just a lot I don't remember. Like we were talking before, I thought they added this in, but I guess they didn't, but there's, so this is like a benefit and a curse of the game, but there is an area in the game that's like a side dungeon that you can just sit in and grind in.
I don't believe that they had the extent of there are three separate areas. Each one is specialized for types of training that you would want to do.
For experience,
I don't remember that, but I do remember that there was a side dungeon for training that I ignored.
Okay. I'm playing the game on hard, so it's been beneficial to me because I feel like there... I haven't hit a plateau with the game in the first two chapters, but I definitely feel... Because Shin Megami Tensei games are known for their difficulty.
They are, yeah.
And I decided to challenge myself with the hard version of this time around. And having... So you go into, like, the XP dungeon, and it's cool the way they balance that risk and reward system because they're small dungeons, but the longer you spend in them, the more the random encounters increase in level.
And they give you those items to try to book it to
exactly.
right away.
So you want to get to the items because there'll be tomes that will instantly give you a huge boost of XP.
Right.
But the longer you spend in the dungeon, the stronger the enemies become.
And if you get into one fight too far, it's like, well, I gotta use a smoke machine or I'm dead.
Exactly. And it basically gets to the point, like, you can't save in the dungeon. Yeah. It's great that you can save anywhere in this game. If you spend too long, you're just like, you're gonna get knocked out like that. I'm snapping a lot, and I understand that I'm doing that. But
and there's the interesting room in the back of the dungeons that you can't get at the
yes,
beginning.
There's more to it that we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's too early. It's too early
too
to
early.
Tell.
Don't know.
Kev, it's the first time you're playing this. What's your first impression so far?
I'm really liking it. It is a refreshing, a little bit less involved version of Persona that I really like.
Yeah.
I miss some of the depth of connections. Like, I like that about Persona a lot in terms of deepening your bonds makes everyone stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss the... Maybe it'll come later, but in terms of I like how your protagonist in Persona isn't, like, just Crom, but could be Crom or Lucina. And, like, the way in which they branch out.
The wild card factor of that.
It won't come.
Okay. No.
Yes.
So every party member in this game is tied to a mirage. And all of the mirages are essentially like demonic versions of Fire Emblem characters we know.
Yeah.
The main character, it's Itsuki. Itsuki.
So general rule for Japanese names that is makes them hard for English people. It's not like hard and fast every single time, but English speakers like to emphasize the second syllable of a name or equally emphasized syllables, whereas Japanese often puts the emphasis on the first syllable.
Yeah.
So Itsuki, Tsubasa, Maiko, Toma. Like there's a length on the first syllable of these names.
Okay, that's great because I was like literally writing down my notes earlier and realized that I just had no pronunciation guide for anyone. I was like, Tsubasa?
I'm here as our local Tsubasa. Japanese pronunciation guide who has not properly spoken Japanese.
So it's Tsubasa.
It's Tsubasa or Tsubasa.
Okay.
It's usually like Tsubasa. Uh-huh.
So far in the two chapters we played, she's more the main character of the story.
Yeah.
It's kind of as if like...
Well, each... I will say this speaking
I have
from
no
somebody
memory
who remembers
of
it,
the game I played 5 years ago.
Each person sort of gets some focus later. Like, each person kind of has their moment.
But I
think she's going to be the main string through the plot. Mm-hmm.
And I like
but
that
other
they
characters
each,
will get things.
They each have their own versions of being performers. I think that's fun. How she's a singer, and then you get...
Toma's like an actor.
He's
like
an action hero. And then your person seems like he's almost eventually going to be like an orchestrator.
A jack of all trades.
His art is in which the way he composes those around him.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Which I think is interesting. And the thing I really like about this game that I think Persona doesn't have and I wish it did have now is the session system. I like the way
sessions
in which
are
these...
Let's talk about the combat.
Then the beat up from Persona. I think this is far more rewarding. Like, oh, I got this good chain. They're all magic attacks because this thing that's weak against magic and that's super useful versus choosing a starting move that's going to launch more along a line of physical chain of attacks. I think that's a really cool and interesting system that I'm excited to see how it develops.
What I really like about this game, and I think this is coming off of a year where I fell in love with games like Dicey Dungeons and Slay the Spire, Tokyo Mirage Sessions' battle system has a lot of a deck builder quality to it.
Yeah.
Because as your... So the way progression works in this game, there's normal leveling, which has like that familiar Fire Emblem ding, and then all the stats are very Fire Emblem-like.
Do you know if those are randomly generated stats, or are they...
I think it's very Fire Emblem-like, and that is random, whatever you get every time you level up.
Each character has growth.
Yeah, because sometimes like somebody will get all six stats getting 1 or 2 points, and then sometimes like... You know, Toma will level up and all he gets is a strength. And I'm just like, what is this?
But he gets
this?
Like +4 strength. And you're like, okay. Yeah.
Right.
All right, Toma.
The way you kind of build your character and build its deck is through the equipment that you're putting on. And the way the Carnage system works, it's kind of like, it's a marriage of crafting and then just using a weapon. Because each weapon is kind of something borrowed from Fire Emblem. You've got, like, Itsuki has rapiers and epies and stuff that you see in Fire Emblem. And then every weapon has not only, like, you know, it adds this much attack to your character's stat, it also has four abilities.
And its own weaknesses and strengths.
Yes, it
has. It's almost like they're all the fools in a way from Persona games.
Yeah, it adjusts your resistances and weaknesses a little bit when you get new weapons. And yeah, each one, like, as you master the weapon, you get skills. And, and there's a certain number of slots allotted. So in this first chapter, you're largely just filling up your slots and getting more skills.
Exactly.
Whereas later on, you're going to have to start deciding, all right, if these are my characters, these are the session skills I want to have in place because they're going to work together the best. And, like, you really do have to kind of start deck building your skills a little bit.
Like, I'm at the point now where I have dark magic on one of my characters, but no one else has a dark magic follow-up. So if something is weak against dark magic, like, that's great. You can't that's one start attack, a session yet. But I'm not starting a session.
And especially because, like, the way... So, like, you build... You can build your vocabulary of moves to start things off, and then you have, so each character learns sessions, and a session would be like, if this, then that. It's almost like a programming language.
Yeah.
So somebody might use an ice move and against an enemy that's weak against ice,
and then you as have long ice as that happens,
another character might have ice to slash, and then your third party member might have slash to
fire,
wind, and they cast another move from there. And I
it's
think
great. That, I love it. It's a cool system.
It's very rewarding so far.
Yeah. Because then, like, you even get to the point where, like you said, you have that chain of three, but sometimes you start at a different point and you don't have that third piece to get all three of them in again. You only have two, and that affects in terms of, like, if I'm going to spend my EP, am I going to do it now with this character or in the next turn to actually get all three?
Well, I had my boss fight against Aversa. I think there were points where Toma was the only one who could get a three lane session. If Aversa was the only one on the field, just because of the way that things were set up and the abilities that we had. So with, like, when I was on Tsubasa, I would be like, all right, so you're going to be the healer. You're going to take time to heal.
Yeah.
And Itsuki will, like, charge up the party's defense or something like that. And so I would use the moves in that sort of way.
Yeah, and it's nice that they tie in, like, the Shin Megami Tensei stat-raising abilities, too.
And I like that they jump straight to the... Everyone's defense up, everyone's attack up, where in Persona you have to deal so long with
so
one person's attack
or
one person's defense. I like the ways in which this game is less complex, I do enjoy.
Because I think this game gets a lot tougher if you're losing one part. If one person's knocked out, things are a lot more difficult than
really
it is a normal.
I go into a dungeon, I make sure I have fresh spicy curries ready
to
revive.
So much
got a bunch,
I also really like... The game not only pairs well with Shin Megami Tensei's magic, but it also uses Fire Emblem's weapon triangle a lot, too.
Oh, yeah.
So there are enemies that are weak against lance using
characters. It's an advantage to knowing Fire Emblem. Also.
Yeah. Very much so.
Because there's the thing such as, like, you can say, oh, this is a dark Myrmidon. I know Myrmidons use swords. Probably lances are going to be good
are going to be really helpful.
And you're generally correct on that.
Yeah, and then you also gain, like, there's no real bow users, but there's items where you can use bows.
Attacks,
so if you got a winged opponent, you know...
Does Eleonora use bows? I feel like one of the late characters uses bows.
I don't know anything about that.
I'm trying to have an axe or bow user yet.
I'm almost positive that somebody comes in with bows eventually.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I feel like it's Eleonora, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, and then just adding to, like, the deck builder idea, once at the end of chapter one, you get your fourth party member. You get Kiria.
Mm-hmm.
I pronounced it right.
Kiria.
I mean, you should flip Kiria. The R a little bit more.
Yeah. Kiria.
Kiria.
Who introduces a whole new set of...
Kudono.
Because she's more of an ice user and a dark magic user at the
top. She's your mage.
Because she's got Tharia. I forgot that Tharia was in the game,
Tharia
too.
Tharia was great from my playthrough of Fire Emblem.
Oh, are we all pronouncing her Tharha? Tharia?
Tharja?
I've always said Tharja.
Is it Tharja?
I've just said Tharja.
I mean Tharha.
I hate that.
But I remember her from that Fire Emblem. It's like, oh, yeah.
Well,
and I remember Kane. Of course, I remember Krom. But.
Well, Kane isn't in Kane Awakening.
Kane
is from the first
one. Yeah,
I know.
Kane and Katia are both from Shadow Dragon and Emblem of Flight.
And it's also funny because Kaeda is her American name. But if you listen to Tsubasa, whenever she's speaking, it's Shida. Because in Japanese, she was Shida.
Interesting.
Was her name. So you can hear the two different names being pronounced despite the translation. Whereas everybody else is like, Kuram. Kane, like, you can, it's very interesting.
I'm pretty sure all of the, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, but I think all the party member mirages that you get are either from Shadow Dragon or Awakening. Shadow Dragon being the first in the series, and then Awakening being the most recent
when the game was released.
I believe so. I cannot remember for the life of me who the sixth party member is paired.
Well, imagine we got
Navarre is in the game.
That's it.
And,
never mind, I got it. And then, isn't it Drog?
Drog is there, and Viren is there.
Who?
Viren?
Virion? Virion, that's right, that's right. Bow user.
Bow user. Yeah, yeah, oh, that's right, you do get a bow user.
Oh, maybe yeah. Virion's with Eleonora, and Drog is with the last dude. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay. I'm remembering things
You're
now.
You're remembering things now.
I'm figuring we would get a bow user and
yes,
an axe user.
Virion is the one.
We get. Yeah, I think the combat's going to be a lot more interesting as we move forward because of that deck builder quality. Yeah. Because now we're getting to the point. So the different skills, you get like spells that you can cast. You get sessions that you can build on, so you can build your deck of how sessions will play out. Very like Final Fantasy 12 like mm-hmm. in that manner. And then you also get passive abilities. You'll get a strength boost or a accuracy yeah. increase or a magic boost. Yeah.
One thing I'm wondering at this point, because I really like how when you develop your character bonds, you start to get those like ad lib performance. Like, oh, if Thoma uses a spear skill, eventually he'll be able to do his funny thing where he's in a costume that brings up this moment from his side quest that yes. hits everyone and then starts a performance. And you get the same thing yeah. with Kidia.
And it's great.
I like that. I'm hoping they'll eventually get a development step that is classing up of people, like going from a lord to a high lord, going from a cavalier to like a fortress knight or a Pegasus knight to a falcon knight.
Oh,
I don't
if
know
if
we get that.
I think that would be cool.
I think
that
would be awesome.
That the mirages will class up.
In the way in which when
I
you're
have
playing
it in my memory, it happens much deeper into the game.
That makes
sure,
sense.
Fair.
But like in Persona games, when their personas awaken to their awakened forms,
absolutely.
Essentially. I really want that to happen.
I don't 100% guarantee you that it happens, so don't hold me to this, but like there is a part of me when I remembered like I knew when Tiki introduces you to the Carnage Unity, and I was like, great, I can make more weapons. I know there's also another one, and it's a skill one, and then I also was like, I feel like at some point they change classes.
Hmm.
So I don't know if I'm just making that up because it's Fire Emblem.
It also just feels like they're in stage one classes
yeah.
at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, they need to get stage two classes, like,
yeah.
like master classes.
Yeah,
and it's also like their titles change, too. Just yeah. the human character's
titles
I like
titles their performance
change.
Titles changing,
I do,
too.
I think that's a really cool feature. Yeah.
So I don't get the full like depth of persona bonds, but there's enough that I still appreciate.
And we're still early on yeah. too. I think yeah. at this point, all we've been able to do is Toma's first side story and Tiki's first side story.
I think so.
And Tiki's doesn't even have much combat evolved to it.
At
like
all.
Neither
it
of them really
have any.
Do. Yeah, it like that side story builds to saying
to.
Like there's something else here.
Tiki's like the computer hacker from Persona 5. Or I feel like a lot of her benefits will
Tsubasa?
Be
Tsubasa.
Yeah.
Where
she has the Necronomicon,
yeah.
The little spaceship, where she does a lot of things that, like, passively
boost you. She's
more
the mission control character.
Yeah, in the dungeon. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. that's what she's going to end up doing.
I can see that. Well, in this version, we'll be able to unlock sessions for her, for...
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
So they're not going to become party members, but her, Mako,
and Barry?
And Barry will all have
Barry.
Unlockable sessions. Barry, only American character.
Yeah, he was
that
once
Barry.
The guitarist, now
they're
he's
gonna,
a chubby teacher.
They're going to have sessions?
They will have sessions.
Like skills.
Yes,
okay.
that's an addition that's in the Switch version.
Yeah, Barry Goldman.
Yes. The only Americanized name in this entire
American
game.
American Mick-American.
Diawichi Iroha. He loves his action figures.
It's very, I think you'd know more about this than we would, Andrew, but it's all very, Japanese.
Very J-pop.
It's very anime Japanese idol idealized world. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's the Japanese. I think it's like not terribly far off from in terms of being indicative of a bit of Japanese idol culture in the sense that it's like a lot of times they kind of work themselves to death. But the considered the noble idea of a Japanese idol is to strive to make everybody happy. You know what I mean? So Tsubasa is sort of an idealized version
it's
of what
an
idol
should be.
It's a very
different culture.
It's extremely different. Because like while the celebrities are idolized, it's because of the amount of hard work they put in versus them just being who they are,
mm-hmm.
sort of thing, which is different from the materialistic version of American culture, I think. But it's also just extremely overemphasized in a lot of anime ways as
yeah.
well.
Sure.
It heavy is anime.
Very anime. I mean, honestly, they all are. Like Persona, Shin Megami Tensei, they're all very anime.
Sure, I just...
But this one feels a lot less grounded in the real world than I think...
Sure.
Say Persona
yeah.
5 is.
Yeah, because she jumps off a building and then summons
a flying
Pegasus that becomes a Pegasus rocket chariot.
Yeah.
And
which
that
is
doesn't...
very Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
Very Final Fantasy X?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the... So I know why. I was doing some thinking about this, about why this game doesn't have an English dub. And I think this game's, you know, one, most of the lines in this game are voiced, which is great. But there's also, like, a lot of music in this game. There's a lot of vocal tracks in this game. And it would probably take a ton more time to Americanize the music in this game. Which we got a peek of in the first chapter, because we get a whole performance from Kiria.
Of Reincarnation,
which is a gosh dang bop. The music in this game so far.
Reincarnation!
It's wild that the, like, the J-pop feeling of the real world compared to the very eerie stuff that we've gotten so far in the two idol spheres that we've experienced. Like, this game has a very wide range of music that I had completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
I, like, forgot a ton about this game.
I started playing this game and I was like, man, this feels good. I do like these kind of games. I like the feel of a Persona type game. I like the how exaggerated and creative the idol spheres become in terms of, like, who creates them influences so much of what this world is. Mm-hmm. And that sense of Persona games, like, their innermost desires are reflected in the world they create in this, like, exaggerated reality. And I love coming back to that system. I think it's wonderful.
This game feels a lot more... The just your first three party members feel a lot more cookie cutter so far.
Sure.
Than, say, like, Persona 5's do.
Sure, yeah. I also, though, I'm glad that your protagonist isn't a silent protagonist.
He's not a silent protagonist, but he's also kind of a pinball protagonist so far. He exists at the whim of the other party members thus far.
Well, I think it's playing into that same way in which your main party member in a Persona or Shin Megami Tensei is always, like, the fool or the wild card kind of player.
Yeah, but even Joker has more wants and desires and backstory than so far Itsuki does.
Sure.
I also think with Itsuki is, like, very much... Isn't one of his titles just the everyman? Like, mm-hmm. he's just supposed to be a random person street
right.
who happened to have the ability to, like, who had some significant level of performa in him and therefore was drawn into this idol world where he's like literally at the end of chapter one, Maiko is like, all right, which one are you most interested
that's
in?
What I think yeah. he's
and he's
of,
like, none of them.
Nothing. I don't want any of this.
That's what I think he's going to end up being, like, composer or director
right.
or something like that.
Marine biologist.
I mean,
he is not going to end up being a
marine biologist. Yeah.
I do, if I remember correctly, like, the other party members, one of them is sort of the, like, typical mysterious aloof anime guy. There's a blonde American girl who is a movie star or something like that.
Great.
And then the other one is, like, tiny. She might just be a
Is there, like, a kid party
member
in this game?
There's a younger girl who's, like, runs a cooking show or something. And yeah. I think she's the sixth party member with the, like, armored knight as her mirage.
That's great.
Sort of thing, which is absolutely the pairing that you would expect. Sure. I think she's the one with Drog or whichever armored knight they've
used. How many party members
that's
are there?
Seven?
I think six, maybe
six?
Seven.
Six, okay.
I'm trying to remember, and it's very hazy.
Probably
sure.
six,
it's
I
like
imagine.
It's a mirage.
I mean, we have two spear users.
No,
at the
because
start of
there
the
must
game.
Be seven, because we still have Navarre and Virion and Drog. So there's seven, because we have four right
so
now.
So imagine, because there's probably Sword, and
we have
two lances.
Sorry, I forgot
axe,
about Kiria entirely.
Right. Yeah. Who, she's my favorite so far.
Yeah.
I adore her.
She's
one, I just love her character design. I love her outfit. I love that punk aesthetic she's got.
Which one?
Kiria.
Oh, yeah. With Tharja as well, which is great.
Oh, exactly. I forgot she was in this game.
Mm-hmm. I'm just sort of... You can tell that this game was released right after Awakening. Because, number one, it's a lot of Awakening characters, but all of the sounds are, like, the same. You pick up an item and it's like, da-da-da-da-da-da, which is the same as the Awakening item pickup.
Yeah,
like,
totally. Yeah,
it's the same sounds.
So I just think Awakening, I think when most people, I even, like, three entries later, I think when you think of Fire Emblem, my mind immediately goes to Awakening.
Oh, like absolutely
Awakening.
Not.
Oh, really?
Well, not at Awakening all. Was also, like, I played a bit of the Fates games, but... I played Awakening all the way through, and I hadn't finished a Fire Emblem game between then and Three Houses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only been Fates and...
And Echoes.
Echoes.
Yeah.
So there's not that many.
Sure.
If I'm thinking of Fire Emblem, I immediately go to either the first one with Lin and Eliwood and Hector, or I go to the Tellius
The first
games.
North American one.
Yeah.
Sure.
One of those two are the ones that I go to.
It's not that I don't disagree with you. I think I played Awakening so many times more recently than those ones. And I also, when I think about the entire casts of a Fire Emblem game, I think if you were to ask me right now, how many characters can I name off the top of my head from any Fire Emblem game, I'm going to give you mostly Awakening characters.
Well, I'll give you mostly Three Houses characters, but then Awakening.
That's true, that's true. Because that's the most recent.
My question that just is, bums me out, because I find the Awakening characters to not have a lot of depth comparatively to older Fire Emblems.
But... when in Tokyo Mirage Sessions are we going to send a baby sword into a pocket dimension to protect it until it grows up?
Twice.
Yeah.
It goes in as a dagger and comes out as a great sword.
I'm disappointed that we're not getting, like, a new party member or something in this version. Like, it would be cool to have, like, a character that had a Three Houses Mirage to it. But yeah. I also know that, like...
I'm fine.
It would feel forced, I think, a little bit. But, like, in the way in which we're going to get Persona the Royal, where that will have a new party character.
Exactly. And also, like, you know, nobody played this game when it first came out. Like, just the sheer fact that we're talking about it again and that it's alive again on a console that people will actually play it on. Thus far, this has probably been my favorite Switch game to play undocked. I have really enjoyed going back and forth playing this undocked and docked more than I think I have. Even like Fire Emblem Three Houses, I think I've really enjoyed both having this docked and undocked. It might be because like this, I think I said this earlier in the episode, but I think this has severe shades of playing Persona 4 Golden to me on my Vita. But this is just the kind of game where I feel like I can get so much done undocked and then have it docked right back again when it's time for like the big climactic moments.
I'm just an undocked Switch player in general.
Right.
Like that's the tone and pace of my life is undocked.
I also think coming off of, you know, my favorite RPG experience I've had on the Switch so far was Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which is not a good game to play undocked.
Sure.
Because there's just too much on the screen at all times that it's all too small and you can't really read things that well.
I could see that.
Even Three Houses, like, I had difficulty reading the text on the screen. Thus far with Tokyo Mirage Sessions, I have found the text to be big enough to enjoy undocked. Like, I woke up in the middle of the night last night, grounded out the rest of Chapter 1 undocked, and I had no issue reading on the screen, even with my blurry bad eyes.
I've had no issue reading on the screen either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I play it largely docked, partially because that's my memories of the game, so the nostalgia lives in playing it on a TV, because I had it on the Wii U, and I played it a lot on the Wii U. But I've taken it to work a few times, so I played it both ways.
I miss the second screen aspect of this game. I think that's just the one thing that we lose in the transition from the Wii U to Switch. Like, when the second screen on the Wii U worked, it worked really well. And even though playing this game with that huge bulky controller at all times, because you could only play it with the gamepad, you couldn't use the Pro Controller or a Wiimote or anything, I think it's nice that the screen was a little less cluttered, and I liked, you know, like the Zelda remasters did this too, where your map was on the touchscreen. I really appreciated that when that was a thing, but at the same time, I will play anything and everything with my Switch Pro controller, and I love playing this game with the Pro controller.
I'm meh. I mean, I think it was nice to have the topics just appearing on your gamepad and not, like, taking up the top corner of your screen and whatever, but, like, it's not, like, the clutter of that, it's not like it's happening in battle, it's not like anything was different in battle, so for me, I don't think this is one where I would go so far as to be like, when the gamepad worked, it worked.
Yeah.
I think it was an accessory to this game that was a great place to put some of the less essential things.
Yeah.
I can agree with
you. I don't think it's that cluttered that it's a problem for me in this game, because the times when the screen is cluttered are very calm times, where you're like, in Shibuya, and I'm fine, I'm just wandering around. If I'm gonna say a game where the gamepad worked, it worked, it's Pikmin 3. Pikmin 3 used the game.
We were talking about that earlier today. I really want to play that game.
That's the one that I'm like, I don't know how you would ever port this game, because it was intrinsically tied to the gamepad and was so fun.
I get that.
Yeah.
Another gameplay aspect that I absolutely love. Because I know we're running long, but like, there's just so much I want to say about this game. I know we're going to talk more about it next week, and maybe that's where we'll start diving into like some of the story stuff.
Yeah.
But one of the things I've really appreciated thus far, having come off of playing like several RPGs lately with crafting mechanics, the fact that this game, you need like specific performas from certain Mirages as you're going through the game in order to craft new
carnages
and skills and stuff like that.
And for those that don't know the game, carnages are just weapons.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. The fact that the game tells you where the things you need are, like when you discover the area, if you're going through Illusionary 106.
Yeah, Illusory 106, yeah.
Because I always think 104 because of the world ends with the Kingdom Hearts. When you're going for that area and you reach the area that has like the enemies you need to defeat in order to unlock certain carnages, when you're on the Carnage Create screen, the second the game, the second you found like where and what to kill in order to get the tools you need to craft weapons, the game tells you them. The game, after the end of chapter one, you get this laptop that tells you what you need to do in order to unlock new side stories.
Right.
It has all the information you need for, the game has like an achievement system called play records, and it gives you all the information you need to unlock new play records.
Feels like Yisei in that way, in which there's a lot of things to do to collect, but they aren't hiding that from
exactly.
You.
There's no hidden information, yeah. And whenever you want to accomplish something, the game gives you all the information necessary to go to a place and do that thing. There's no like, you know, you have to go around to a billion different places because you need the right bear pelt in order to make the right thing. This game just gives you as much information as you need at all times.
Absolutely.
Which, coming off of games like Kingdom Hearts 3, like Trails of Cold Steel, so much, like Fire Emblem, or not Fire Emblem, Star Ocean. Star Ocean is terrible about this kind of thing. They do not tell you where to get anything. Mm-hmm. You need a pen and paper at all times to understand what creatures drop what stuff. This game does a freaking great job of making sure you know where to go to get the things you need to do the things that you want, and I really, really appreciate it. It feels like this game doesn't waste your time.
Yeah, it's a pretty efficient game overall.
It's a really efficient game.
And the fact that you don't have to go around looking for side quests, you can pull up your map from anywhere and see if new side quests have popped up, because it will just pop up randomly, like, you started chapter 2, side quests don't pop up yet, but once you actually get the dungeon to open, then side quests show up. So it's like, if you just check your map, you can always find out where things are going to be.
What's the circular elevator in Daitama? Have you guys done that side quest yet?
Circular elevator in Daitama, it's the first elevator you go down.
Yeah.
The first elevator is
circular. The Idolosphere, take the first elevator, and then you find an item on the ground.
Yes.
Oh, really?
It's really easy.
It's like a shining thing on the ground.
Because I went for the dungeon twice, and I couldn't figure out what the game was trying to tell me.
That's one thing I don't like, is necessarily the Hihomart second shop owner that shows up in all the dungeons, like, kill this many of this enemy and bring me back their things. That always shows up as a request on your map,
mm-hmm.
So, and you can do it repetitively. So if you do it once, you get the player record, but it's still on there. So it makes me paranoid of, like, is this new?
Am I missing context?
Is this the old one or the same one?
Can we, for a second, acknowledge the little, like, shop owners and stuff who are side Fire Emblem characters? Anna runs the Hihomart.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then Karabia Jewelry is Amy, the vendor from the Tellius games, who was, like, flirting with Ike all the time.
I did notice
this. I missed that completely.
And in the cafe is Ileana, the hungry mage from the Tellius games.
Really?
Yeah.
I miss that.
And Ileana is one of my favorite Fire Emblem characters.
Oh, she's such a great character.
It gives me so much life.
Isn't she the one where, like, when she dies, she's like, I'm so hungry.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's Crossroad references to Persona. Like, you see King Frost on things. It's a very popular Persona.
Well, that's Shin Megami Tensei, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The one that goes hee-ho?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all Shin Megami Tensei.
Exactly.
He's like the Pikachu of Shin Megami Tensei.
And the fact that they have rare enemies, like, the same in every game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The penis monster, the penis chariot.
Yeah.
You're gonna just, oh my god, I can't believe you never
Persona
played Persona
5. It's gonna happen. You'll Good be like, gravy. Oh, I understand why you say this is a very similar game.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. This is very Persona light.
I'm also, this is gonna be a turn, but it's something I need to get off my chest in a slightly literal way.
Please.
My least favorite part of this game is fucking Maiko's boob physics. That is stupid ridiculous.
Oh, she does
on her bounce. On her slightly 3D matte character where just parts of her boobs are literally shifting, and I'm like, oh my fucking god.
Yes,
I do love their boobs.
It's excessive to the point of, like, distraction for me.
I did notice that right at the end of chapter one.
It happens a little bit to Tsubasa, but not nearly as badly. Mm-hmm. But on Maiko, it is so extreme.
It's quite
and
bad.
I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, also because
you can't,
like,
just have a woman in charge of something without making her a sexual object anime.
Because also, like, I think all the party members had to be aged up.
Yeah, a couple years.
In the North American version. Did you know about this, Kev?
No.
So there's like this, you know, standards between Japanese age of consent and American age of consent are very, very different. All of the party members, at least like the teenage ones, were aged up 2 years from the Japanese release.
Interesting, okay.
So anyone, I think Tsubasa's like 17 in our version. She's supposed to be 15.
So from young high schoolers to old high schoolers.
Which is a very typical age to start idol training in Asia. So like contextually, it does make sense.
Right.
But because of some of the slight sexualization moments and weird things... They just felt for North American audiences, maybe we make this couple more
years
okay. older.
A lot of the wardrobe in the North American version of the Wii U version were very much like censored, like showed way more skin in the Japanese version.
It also feels very Japanese
then,
versus American.
Did you know this? So the Switch version internationally, like no matter where you are, is all based on the American version of the Wii U port. Mm. So much so that like Japanese gamers rebelled when they learned about this. And Nintendo, I think like for one of the few times ever... allowed pre-orders to be canceled, like digital pre-orders.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because of the outcry from Japanese gamers that they were getting the US version.
You
of
were
the
saying
game.
About that, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very well, because there's like a Hot Springs DLC that came out for the Wii U version that's not in this release. It's all the content from all the games except for these extremely lewd swimsuits.
Yeah. The super sexy stuff.
Sexy stuff.
Like, I like that they give you all the costumes to change between, but I just love their persona, like, Mirage.
Their Mirage.
Like,
yeah.
Why would I not want to have him in his Lord form? I think that's so cool.
There are other slightly more Persona-esque costumes that come in later. I thought that they got them earlier, which is like I remember that there is an alternate costume for Tsubasa that I prefer to her main one, mm-hmm. and I had her in it for almost my entire other playthrough, but I don't have it yet. Mm-hmm. And in my brain, I remember having it already, so I'm a little bit confused as to whether some costumes were like moved throughout the game to later spots or mm-hmm. removed at
all. So they moved. So I think almost like, in any like... music video cutscene, you'll eventually be able to unlock. So you'll be able to unlock like Kiria's reincarnation outfit. And then I think they moved a ton. They made all of the DLC that was released for the Wii U version, except for the Hot Spring stuff, a part of this version. And they put all those costumes in these extra levels that will unlock along the way.
Okay.
And then they added in new costumes based on games that came out afterwards. So there's a Joker costume, there's a Persona 5 costume.
Oh, cool.
There's, I believe, I think there's an Officer's Academy costume from Three Houses that you can unlock for everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's stuff from more recent Shin Megami Tensei and Fire Emblem stuff that we'll be able to find later on. I think that's where some of those extra costumes were moved to.
Yeah, it just bums me out because I enjoyed those costumes more so, and I would like to be playing in them already.
It's funny because Tomura, his link with Kane, his costume. I thought that was going to be from.
This is going to be us the entire way through.
Oh, wait, we're going to mispronounce names.
I'm just here to correct you too.
I thought that was going to be the main lord from Birthrights of the Hashido.
I thought it was going to be
Ryoma because his Kane costume looks a lot like Ryoma.
Very much was so. Not out when this game was made.
Right, exactly. Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, oh, is it going to be Ryoma? I was like, oh, no, I do
might
remember
might have influenced.
Kane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. No, I specifically remember with Toma, there was like another one that... another costume he has where there's more like midriff or something, and I was like, so I've been
just wondering if there is
going to
be like a Cavalier versus Great Knight form.
Maybe
I don't think
Paladin.
The Mirage's classing up changes the appearance of your characters.
I'd like that too.
I don't think so.
Give it to me.
Well,
this is a game where I'm excited to develop the characters more.
Yeah,
I think there's so many like between learning skills from your carnages, from leveling up your characters, from finding new performas and completing side quests. Like the progression system of this game is really, really exciting. I can't wait to develop these characters further.
I like the way they stack the skills too. Like if you get Agi from two different weapons,
you get a more powerful Agi.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
it's cool. It's fun.
But this is just an exciting game, and we haven't even like started talking about the story yet. I feel like we got on for long enough that we can save maybe some story discussion for next week and just talk everything through, because we want to play through chapter 3 next week.
2 and 3, yeah.
Two and three. That sounds great to me.
It's doable.
And we'll start talking about the story, because I feel like
I'm really enjoying it. I'm really excited to keep playing it.
Yeah, and I feel like the story's moving at a fast. Like I thought that saving Tsubasa's sister was going to be like the myth arc of the game, and instead you complete that in
chapter one. Yep.
I'm like, okay, we're
now
moving.
We just got to deal with the other guy that was backstage that looks like Itsuki.
That shows
up at that performance. It's supposed to be playing with Kiria at Tsubasa 106.
Yep.
Huh.
He's in the
Yasuhiro?
Yasuhiro, yeah, the guy that's in the wings back in the flashback holding the roses during the Great Disappearance.
Yeah, yeah.
The Great Disappearance.
I'm trying to remember because I feel
Max
like...
Max Disappearance.
I feel like he's a party member.
Oh, really?
Oh, damn.
I feel like he's one of the party members,
I thought he seems like he's another one who's possessed, right?
I can't
now.
Remember. There's a mysterious Aloof guy, and I thought it was him who's it the might party be. Member, but I'm not yeah. sure. I can't remember his name, but the guy with the long hair that we rescued in the Illusory
the model?
No,
the long producer hair, dude.
Open shirt producer
oh,
guy.
Oh, yay!
I can't remember his name. Tatsunaba or something along yeah. those lines. It was like that terrible with names, but that's
time.
Definitely wrong. Sorry,
yeah. guys.
I'll be okay with them.
Yeah.
Names are hard.
I'm good at Japanese-ish. I just haven't used it regularly in like 8 years. It's not so Japanesey as it used to be. Let's sign off.
Let's, yeah. Do we have anything else we want to mention? Any other games we're playing right now?
We love you all.
We do love all of our...
You're great.
I want to apologize to you both. Last night I was dealing with a bout of insomnia, and I woke up in the middle of the night. I finished up chapter one, and then I was like, well, I kind of want to play something else, and I was just looking for... I was looking for the Super Nintendo games, and I forgot that, like, Kirby Superstar came out for the Switch. And I am so sorry that I made your first Kirby experiences be Kirby Streamline 3, because Kirby Superstar is such a phenomenally good game. Holy moly. If you guys give Kirby another chance, Superstar, like, if you get the fighter ability, you kind of see a proto Smash Bros.
Interesting.
In Kirby Superstar. That's kind of the game that Superstar is.
Nice.
It's very much like laying the groundwork for the gameplay that Smash Bros. Would become.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I wanted to say on that matter.
Yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
good.
I think that's enough for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've gone for enough.
Yeah.
I think you've gotten your... I think you've... Audience out there, I think you've paid for...
Yum, yum,
today.
Yum. You've had your fill of your three favorite boys.
Yes.
You're really playing with the yum, yum, yums today.
Yum, yum,
Kev's
yum.
Kev's been saying that all day long. We were hanging out before this.
Good Game, Great Game is supported in part through our followers on Patreon.
Yeah.
If
wow.
you like what we're doing, you want to support us, head on over to patreon.com/goodgamegreatgame to...
Do that!
It's a nice little tip jar. We're going to be releasing a monthly Patreon-only bonus episode. We're going to actually do a bonus episode later this month to give you a taste of what to expect.
Well, February.
In February, sure.
I was like, no, it's January still. We're not doing it this month.
It's January.
It's January
it's
still.
It's January.
It feels like it's February already to me. Wow, I just want time to move on by. I'm ready for death.
If you want to enter to... No. Okay. Yeah. Head on over to patreon.com/goodgreatgame. Good Game, Great Game. You will have access to our private Discord server. You'll be able to talk with Kevin directly. This is the only place on the internet. You'll be able to get all of Kevin's true thoughts about life and love and the way
also,
it is.
Also, apologies to Andre that you've been in the Discord and we promised you a Kevin and Kevin has not gotten into the Discord yet.
I didn't know that people were in it yet.
I told you I was inviting people.
Yeah.
A shame. You fool.
Shame. Shame.
I'll be on there, Andre. I'm coming soon. I promise.
Thank you to our current Patreons.
This.
Andrew, if you'd like to...
Yeah,
to
two Patreons. Patrons? I'm not sure which... What,
Patreons.
Which Patreons. Yeah, thank you to both of Casey, who is Hotel Theotokos on Twitter. He is one of the two hosts on the Final Podblum, which we have shouted out many, many times. Good guy. Good guy. Check him out. And also Andre Shudilov, who has been a loyal fan for a very, very long time. Both of them have... committed to us on Patreon, and we super, super appreciate them.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Keep sending us those questions, Andre.
Yes.
But again, as always, like, there remains no pressure. If
no,
you are in
never.
A financial situation where you cannot support us, like, that is fine.
Yeah.
I'm in a financial situation where I can't support anyone else, and that's great. I don't have to claim a dependent on my taxes.
Nope, not one bit.
This is just a way that, like, if you have a few extra dollars and you like to throw it to creative projects, we're making one, and we love you for listening forever, and we will put that money back in to just make this better for all of you, and we appreciate you if you can, and if you can't, just keep listening. We love you just the same, no matter what, no matter who you are.
Follow us on social media. We are at Good Great Game. I am at Papa Bear Zach, and Andrew is at Andrew Orsi. That is our handles on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us all right on there. Next week, we are talking about chapters 2 and 3 of Tokyo Mirage Sessions. And since we're going crossover crazy this month, we're also going to be talking about some of our favorite weird crossovers from the years. If you've got a favorite weird crossover, why don't you send us a little tweet at Good Great Game one more time, just so you throw it out there. And we'll talk about it on the show next week. We got some kooky ones that we're going to be throwing your way, because it turns out, you know, that multimedia knockover has been pretty weird over the years.
Reese's are a thing. You take your chocolate, you take your peanut butter, you mix them together, you get something new and fun.
What's the Reese's of video games? We'll talk about that.
What's
next
the Reese's
week.
Of video games? That's what's really important.
That's the big discussion for next week. And if you have thoughts, if you're doing your own playthrough of Tokyo Mirage Sessions and you want to talk about stuff that you love from the game, please throw it at us. We want to talk to you more. You want to talk to us more. We're all part of this good, great gang. We're all part of this book club. Fuck you, besties.
We were
the first video game book club. Get out of here, McElroy bros. Blech.
Okay.
That is enough for today.
That's strong.
Do good things this week. Be great at them. I love you. Guys, I love you.
Love you too, buddy.
We never discuss how much we love each other enough on the podcast. And I just want to say that.
I think we're all going to hug after this.
We're wow. Gonna it's going to be cute and maybe a little male.
For Andrew Orsi and Kevin Ryder, I am Zach Rich. This has been Good Great Game. Hey, do good and be great at it.
The hugs are coming.
We know the consequences of what you do. But children are